is going to be amazing.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. We're 400 this year, and we're very, very old, a little bit doddery. I've been a bit confused because this is a little bit of a departure from normal proceedings. But on the bright side, I don't pretend to have to be knowledgeable about any video game news this week, so that's good. Coleman!
Hi!
You're another man who's 400 years old.
Am I?
Yeah, you are.
Well, I started at like 182, so I'm...
Hey, you're spring chicken. And talking of really flipping old, Tim Hibbs, hello.
Hello.
He's been in this with me since the beginning.
Grandfather time Hibbs.
The beginning of time.
The beginning of time, all the way back in the days where we worked for another podcast. We did podcasts or another website.
It was work.
It was what it was. Bloody hard work.
To be fair, I am still just about using the microphone that they purchased us for doing that very same podcast. Back in the sarcastic gamer days, but hey.
Best sentence ever. Tim podcast, great.
Tim word, good.
Right, well, but we do have a special guest with us this week.
It's been 84 years.
It's been 84 years, but he's still Ed. It's Ed. Hello, Ed.
How's it going? Thank you very much for having me here.
So what the devil are we doing this week?
So do you remember about 2 years ago when I wrote you a lovely choose your own adventure where you all got trapped inside Tim's Ouya and had to escape to freedom? And David Cage was very naked.
He did take me on an emotional roller coaster, bless him.
I thought that was a thing that actually happened.
All I know is I had to hold on, squeeze and scream, and naked David Cage was involved, so...
It was still more fun than Detroit.
I don't like when you two get together.
David Cage haters you.
You mean the rational people in the group, Tim?
Sacre bleu.
Well, no, normally we outnumber Dan, so me and Coleman can shout him down. But now it's all equal, and that's not fair. It's almost a democracy.
Can't we all just, like, unanimously slag someone off? Like, you know, I don't know, someone from Ubisoft.
Donald Trump.
Or Donald Trump.
Oh, I've got people I can slag off. Legally, let's be quiet for now.
Wow, that's a little insight into Ed's life. So far we've discovered Ed has developed a hit list of people who he wants to erase from existence. Good, that's... exceptionally well-balanced of you, Ed. Congratulations.
Well, that comes up in this story, I think, today, so we'll see how that one goes.
Okay. Crime Stoppers number, if you do want it, by the way, is...
So we're doing another Choose Your Own podcast.
Yes, we're doing another Choose Your Own podcast. This time the theme's a little different. You're not trapped inside an Ouya, but you'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to this one. It has taken about a week, because every time I was like, I'm going to be sane this time, I'm going to keep the scope small... I went, right, let's have another 10 parts.
Wow.
Just for the shit of it.
Good. Safe in the knowledge that 9 of them will be unused.
Yep, there are 9 endings. And last night, one of the endings is literally, why have I written so many of these?
This is one of my favourite things about doing this with Ed, because we've done this on other shows as well, and Ed commits. I've seen people do the comedy Choose Your Own Adventure, and they're like, pick this one, and then change it later. But yeah, Ed fully writes an entire Choose Your Own Adventure for us to play.
Yeah, just for the record, we're not going for the platinum on this one. We're not going for all the alternate endings, I'm afraid,
what?
Ed.
What? This is... I had a whole Nier Automata thing planned.
That's how David Cage would want it.
I know how he'd want it, the filthy... Anyway.
Shall I roll the music?
Roll it!
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hey!
100! Woo! Party time!
Really? Tim, look, we've been doing the show for 8 years, mate, racked up 400 of these episodes, and you still insist on interrupting my introductions?
Well, basically, we've done so many of these, I thought I'd give it a try for once.
But you have done them before when I've not been here.
Yes, but I haven't done one before when you have been here.
Dan sides in the way that only a man who's podcasted with Tim for multiple years is capable of mustering.
Fine, go ahead, do the bloody introduction then.
Really? Great. Hello, and what do I say next? Can we start again?
Tim's question was met with a sound that was remarkably identical to Dan screaming into a pillow, because it was.
Guys, can we sort this out quickly? If I don't say my trademark, hi, within 4 minutes of starting any podcast, I will die. So something to please keep in mind.
Now, look, sorry, Coleman, I forgot about your condition, but as your doctor...
You're not my doctor, Dan.
But he is. a doctor, Dr. Dan.
Yes, and as a doctor, I would like you to know that your condition is as real as my enthusiasm for listening to Tim talk about menus.
Oh no, then we need him to say hi as soon as possible. Dan, this could be serious.
No, Tim, look, I was, in fact, okay, using this little thing known as sarcasm, where... it's a doctor thing, you wouldn't understand it.
Guys, please!
All right, fine. Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 400 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. 400 episodes. Can you really believe it? I can't, and neither can my friend Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim!
Tim, hello, and Dan side.
And also my erstwhile chum, who assures me that he will explode if he doesn't get to introduce himself to you, and that's Coleman.
Hi!
Coleman boomed, relieved he wouldn't die after all. Well, for now.
This episode is a bit of a special one.
Dan explains.
Because it's the 400th episode, we know, Dan.
Coleman tuts.
No, you idiot.
Dan growled.
Because we're all together in the same place for goodness knows how long it's been. That's right. Love in the time of COVID hasn't stopped us from getting together and broadcasting. I made sure everyone has been fully isolated for 3 weeks, washed their hands regularly, and we are all wearing face masks.
Why, Batman, eh?
Coleman Bane.
For God's sake, stop it, or I'll write a doctor's note to make sure you're isolated for another bloody month.
I'll be good.
So, it's time to have a look at the agenda for this week. Hang on, hold on. Has what have you been sneaking into the agenda while I wasn't looking again?
Not since you threatened to isolate me.
Coleman admitted.
Yeah, and we're right in front of you. You'll be able to see us do it.
Tim deduced.
What does it say?
It says... cover your eyes. What you're about to see will be very bright.
What, like the PlayStation 5?
Hang on. Now it says, we're serious. Do it now. I don't know about you lot, but I'm going to do what this self-typing agenda says.
Dan covered his eyes, causing Coleman to follow. Tim was too distracted thinking about all the talking about menus he had planned to know what was coming next. Just as the agenda warned, a massive bright light shone through Tim's flat like a flashbang, disorientating Tim and leaving Dan and Coleman a little squinty. However, what they saw before them beggared belief.
This beggars belief!
Exclaimed Dan.
Who the bloody hell are you? I'm you from the future, you tit.
Came an older, more sarcastic voice emanating from an older Dan.
Yes, that's why we look...
You're not
like...
that much older.
how much older am I meant to be?
About 10 minutes years. Older.
Yeah, that's why we look like you. Only older.
Replied
Hello,
older Coleman.
You're turning into a wrestler in 10 years.
Let me tell you something, brother.
And why we have... Now I'm turning into the Queen. Why am I turning into the Queen?
I'll tell you what, I'll just sound like my dad when I do my older lines. How's that?
Oh, I would sound like my dad, but then I'd sound exactly the same. And why we have these cool jetpacks and clothing like in Tron.
I've never seen Tron.
Older Coleman admitted.
Really? I swear, once we finish time travelling, I'm sitting you down and making you watch them.
There's more than one Tron.
And that's why I have these cool sunglasses.
Interrupted older Tim excitedly, not having paid any attention to the Tron exchange. He looked at his younger self, who'd been blinded by the flashing light, and handed them over.
You'll probably need these. Wow, I'm seeing double here.
Regular Tim shouted.
Four Colemans.
The others glared at Tim for a moment before moving swiftly on to the slightly more regular sight of their future selves.
I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen something weird that's happened in Tim's flat.
Coleman conceded, recounting an outing with a rogue year 2 years before.
But I have so many questions about this. Like, why are our future selves here? What purpose do they have? Is Tron really that good? Or is it just another easy reference to make?
Older Dan attempted to explain this.
Well, the simple explanation for all of this is...
Hi! I'm sorry, I forgot. I was being my dad, wasn't I? Hi!
Shouted older Coleman, surprising everyone around him.
Sorry, it's just that if I don't say hi within 5 minutes of time travelling, I will die.
Yes, but if you don't let me explain everything, then we'll all die.
An exasperated older Dan said.
I want to explain it.
Said older Tim.
Older Tim's turning into my dad.
Yeah.
That's not fair. How come I don't get to explain it?
Older Corman argued.
We don't have time for this argument.
Older Dan moaned.
Look, what do you pick who wants to hear this bloody explanation from?
So will you let future Dan explain the plot to you? Let future Tim explain the plot to you? Or let future Coleman explain the plot to you?
I mean, if you want something explained to you, let's go with Dan.
I don't know, Tim's had the least line so far. I think he should get
exactly
to say
and also, I just want to hear more older Tim. I really would give that guy the open road. Yeah. Just let him see where he goes.
All right, Tim, it's on you.
Okay, so basically, there's this big problem in the future sort of thing. And basically, what we need to do is help us out, no?
Can I change my mind?
Yes, yes you can.
The way you need to do that is basically, back in the past, well, my past, it wouldn't be your past because it hasn't happened to you yet. You know, anyway, in my past, which isn't your past, but is my past. Well, do you remember the Ouya? I kickstarted it once before I went to E3. Do you remember E3? That was great while it was an industry trade show and not an influencer concert. That being said, I did meet some famous people at E3, so it wasn't all bad. I got to cover a lot of video games, so it was great fun, wasn't it? Anyway, the Ouya I kickstarted it back when it was coming out because it seemed like a great idea. You'll be able to play mobile games on your TV. Whoever hasn't wanted to play mobile games meant to be played in short bursts on your TV for extended periods on a piece of hardware that couldn't adapt to any future upgrades in phone technology. Basically, it was a brilliant idea, and one I couldn't wait to endorse. Basically, for some reason I can't fathom, they didn't sell very many. Now, some people would tell you that that meant the Ouya failed, but what I like to think is that it succeeded at what it was trying to do, but not too many people caught on to that and didn't support it. No. Why is there lots of no's? Question mark. Anyway, right.
Because you say, you do that quite a bit.
You say no at the end of a sentence a lot.
You go, tell her, no?
Didn't know that was a thing to add to my basicallys.
All of your sentences are bookended by basically and no?
I was thinking maybe this game wasn't actually very good, no?
One to note.
No?
So, a while back in the past, not in your past, my past, I decided that I was going to bring back the Ouya, not the old Ouya, because that would have been pointless. But basically, I was going to bring back the idea of the Ouya by making a new one called the Tuya. Good name, no? Now, I put the idea on Kickstarter, and once I started going door to door, before I knew it, everyone was ready to put money towards it. I made the money in no time. But basically, everyone had thrown their Ouya in a bin a long while ago. Everyone thought I'd done it too after a sentient Ouya tried to kill me, Dan and Coleman a couple of years ago. Basically, I didn't. I kept mine hidden away and decided to use the AI in it, that's not going to go far, to help me make a new Ouya, which was called the Tuya. Basically, for some reason, yeah, Dan's version might have been more concise than this. Anyway, right. Basically, for some reason, I can't work out, the Tuya was evil. No idea how that could have happened, but it was. So basically, I put a stop to it, so did Dan and Coleman. And I tried another Tuya prototype, but it turned out that it was evil too. Who could have imagined? Every time I tried to do a new Tuya prototype, it would turn out to be evil somehow, as if the very concept of a homemade console that was made primarily to play mobile games on inherently cursed or something. Still, I persevered, and eventually I managed to make one that only wanted to go through space and time, and put a stop to me, Dan, and Coleman throughout different points in our timelines. Basically, we managed to reverse engineer the technology due to Dan's third doctorate and save the day, only to find out that there were several more days that needed saving.
Is Tim's dialogue entirely based off Grandpa Simpson?
No.
Is Tim going to start shouting at clouds in a moment?
Anyway, we all need to click through to basically.
Basically.
An hour later, older Tim finishes explaining everything that had happened thus far, plus several menus, only to look around and discover that everyone else was gone. Realising he'd spoken for so long he'd accidentally doomed the entire human race, he quickly went back in time, dropped a note to himself to refuse to explain the plot, and faded out of existence in order to avoid even more time travel plot holes. So, would you like to have future Coleman or future Dan explain the plot to you?
Well, Tim just had to read that wall of text, so I think he gets to decide.
Yeah, yeah, go on, Tim. You choose.
Well, my original decision was Dan, so let's go with Coleman.
Yeah!
Good work. It's what we like.
Future Coleman has to explain.
Hi! Sorry if I didn't say that before. I gave a plot-relevant explanation. I will die. Essentially, we need to go through time to fix the rights and the wrongs of the past, present, and future in order to keep Big Red Barrel going. Nah, because otherwise, if you don't, I will think the entire universe collapses. Sorry, I wasn't really listening when Dan explained it to me earlier. No pressure, though. I think, a lot of pressure, because if you don't do it, we'll all die. Cool?
Thanks, Coleman, for the explanation.
Thank you, Coleman.
You're welcome.
Older Coleman says, with a twinkle in his eye and a cheeky grin emerging underneath his grey goatee. Older Dan looks at him with vague annoyance, while older Tim is busy talking to regular Tim about something that will probably become plot relevant later. Who knows? Left slightly confused by the lack of explanation, Coleman, regular Coleman that is forced to ask,
is there any more to it than that?
Yeah, loads, but we don't have enough time for that.
Older Dan exclaims.
What do you mean you don't have enough time? You're time travellers.
Yeah, but it's time travel technology you helped invent.
Older Dan informs him.
Fair enough. We'd better get to it quickly then.
You can ask, actually, how does the time travel work? Or B, let's get on with the adventure.
No one knows how time travel works. It's like
it's a kind of wibbly, wobbly, wavy, timey, wimey.
See, that's not
Doctor
an explanation.
Who,
that's just a bunch of words, Coleman.
Magnets.
And <I know.
laughs> Dan's the closest.
That's how time travel works. Science.
Science?
Let's get on with the adventure.
Alrighty, let's get on with
For
the adventure.
For fear that Tim has to explain how time travel yeah. works.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, I didn't do two jokes like that. That would be overdoing it. No,
I don't want to fail my sanity check this early on in the adventure. That's the problem.
With no lingering questions about how the time travel in this story worked, Dan, Tim and Coleman were preparing to leave on their adventure.
Hang on. Before we go anywhere outside, masks on and wash your hands, chaps.
Dan instructed.
Oh, yeah, this is during that outbreak.
Older Coleman remembered.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Oh, he's already said too much. Don't worry about him.
Older Dan begged, shooting a glare towards Older Coleman.
Remember, we can't mess with the time stream too much.
Beyond sending our parcels back into the time stream to fix it?
Older Coleman teased.
Yeah, precisely. Look, I don't see why you're trying to pick holes in this premise, since when were you critical?
Older Dan asked.
Dan's turning into an EastEnders character.
Yeah, I am. I know. I've got no idea where this accent's
like
going.
Super old Dan, radio voice from the 50s, and now you're turning into an EastEnders character. You're turning into Dirty Den.
I know. All right. Which one would you like me to continue doing?
I don't know. I just like seeing where this is going.
Just pick a lane.
I always thought Older Dan would sound a lot like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Regular accent.
All right.
Probably after my fifth kid. Do you know they're still too young to play VR? Terrible. Ought to disown them.
That sounds like a Tim line.
You think? After some bickering and hand-washing, Tim and co are all led out the flat by their future selves to discover.
Hold on.
Coleman said.
Are you trying to tell us that you made a time machine out of a DeLorean?
There was a nod.
Awesome!
He said.
I've always wanted to say that.
Older Tim smiled.
I know, that's why we did it. Basically, DeLoreans are even harder to find in the future than you think. And they're all basically rust buckets as well. So this only has a few more trips left before it breaks down, no?
Well, technically they're all made from fiberglass. So technically they wouldn't rust.
I know, they can time travel, they can rust, Dan.
Older Dan frowned.
I wanted the phone box out of Bill and Ted, but the test run didn't go so well. Pat! Pat!
You can't throw that in just as I'm about to do it. Anyway. Basically, we popped to the shop for some kind of lottery tickets. Came back 5 minutes later and found a homeless man passed out and covered in p*** inside.
Older Tim confirmed.
And then we found out Tim had actually bought the wrong lottery ticket, so it was a bit of a waste, really.
Older Coleman lamented.
Basically, anyway, off you pop. It's time for your grand adventure.
Older Tim says enthusiastically. And he's right, because after all of that preamble, it's finally time to jump into the story. Cue the opening sequence.
I really need to choose a Dan, Older Dan voice.
Theorising that one could time travel within their own lifetime, Dr. Dan Gibbons stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished. He woke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own, and driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. His only guide in this journey is Tim Hibbs, an observer from his own timeline, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Dan can see and hear, and who really loves menus. And so Dr. Gibbons finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong and hoping that each time that his next leap will be the next leap home. Wait, seriously? No, of course not. We couldn't get the rights to that. I tried. They're really expensive. Besides, we've already established that there's a DeLorean, so how many more references do you need? Anyway, sorry, where was I? I was having a moment. Oh, right. So we're at the point in the story where we're ready to start going through time. So let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for episode 400, BRB to the Future. Okay, so welcome to that exact thing I just said. In this follow-up to the hit 300th episode of BRB UK, our heroes must once again save their future by saving themselves in a handy choose-your-own-adventure. How, you ask?
How?
Well, that sounds like something that might need to be explained somehow, perhaps in the form of a beloved and very necessary tutorial. So what would you like to do? Sounds like a big adventure's coming up. I hope there's a tasty tutorial I can slurp up with my mind tongue. Or B, sounds like fun. I, however, am a cretin who doesn't want to feast on the delicious tutorial that you have made for me.
I kind of quite like embracing my inner cretin.
I know exactly what happens if we do that, because he's done it. I swear he's going to do the same damn joke. If we hit sounds, I don't want to know, he'll go, are you sure? I put a lot of effort into this. And then we'll click, yes, I'm sure. And I go, no, tough, I put a lot of effort into this. We're going to do it.
Just because I've done it 5 times before doesn't mean I'll do it this time.
Shall we save ourselves some time and just go through the tutorial?
Yeah, all right, sure. Slurp mind it tongue. Up with my mind tongue.
Luckily for you, there is a tutorial. Count your blessings. Coming up are 3 different stages to your adventures. Your heroes must take the DeLorean through time in the following chapters. Coleman minds his past. Dan goes back to the present and travelling through Tim and space.
Ew.
Once they've landed in their designated time period, they must either put right what once went wrong. Sorry, still got quantum leap on the brain.
I didn't know black holes winked at you.
Fix an imminent issue or make sure the future is safe for BRB going forward. So you have to be careful because, as last time, there are pass and fail states. Whether our heroes succeed or fail at the task will affect how the story finishes. Do you want the best ending? Make sure you succeed at all the tasks? Or do you want Dan, Tim and Coleman to delete every episode of BRB UK past and present and erase their podcast from existence? If all their missions fail, who knows what might happen? So, fingers crossed everything works out. So you've got 3 choices. There's, thanks for explaining that, Ed. You really are handsome and brilliant, and I can't wait to save the universe. Or B, wow, Ed, that was explained so well. Are you single? Because if you're single, I have no idea why. All the amazing writing skills you have, I can't imagine why you'd ever be alone.
Next.
What an amazing explanation, Ed. Considering how awesome you are, it really is a shame you don't get to be on the podcast more often.
Only people with working microphones get to come on the podcast, Ed.
Ooh.
Just because my snowball broke.
Let's go for the second one.
I was voting for the first one. What are you going with, Dan?
The first one. Okay, we'll go for the first one.
We'll go for the first one.
What, handsome and brilliant?
Sure.
I've been working on myself a lot recently, and it's good to hear that the effort I've put in has paid dividends. However, I think it's time to get on with the adventure proper, don't you?
Okay, then.
Let's go to the hub.
Hub.
Is it wrong that I'm spending an inordinate amount of time working out what flipping accent I'm going to use and just choose for old Dan, because I still don't know.
Yeah, Tweedle, it's me, old Dan.
Hello.
Make it a wandering accent.
A wandering accent? You want a wandering accent? Okay.
You're a well-travelled man in your later years.
Why don't we just say future Dan, he changes accents quite often, because that's the way the future works.
Ooh, yeah, let's do that.
Or you can decide after we do Coleman's chapter, or we could do your chapter now and you have to make a decision fast-ish.
Well, it's past, present and future, so as I'm the past, I'll go for the past.
Yep, let's go with the past.
All right, let's go to the past.
Coleman minds his past.
All right, I guess I'll have a go.
Coleman decides, heading towards the DeLorean. He pauses before heading to the passenger side door.
Sorry, I just remembered that I can't drive. Also, I haven't taken my travel sickness tablets. Deep cut. Can you give me a second to pop one in before we go?
Future Coleman rolls his eyes before opening the driver's side door and turning the engine on. With a few presses of the panel before him, he sets a date and revs the engine. Regular Coleman quickly dives in the passenger seat and puts his seatbelt on.
Bloody hell, can you not wait a moment? Where we're going, we don't need travel sickness tablets.
Older Coleman says to him, a wink in his eye.
I wanted to say that. One day you will.
With that, the doors close and the DeLorean speeds down Tim's Road, off to the nearby motorway, and also into the past.
Do I learn how to drive in the future, then?
Coleman asks.
Nah, this thing's self-driving.
Older Coleman laughs, smugly.
So what's my mission? Where are we going? Ah, you'll see.
Suddenly, time flashed before both pairs of Coleman eyes. The DeLorean rocked in them toward across time and space before suddenly halting to a stop in the seemingly cozy suburb.
This is very exciting,
Coleman lamented.
On the contrary, younger me, this could be the beginning of the most exciting journey of your life.
Older Coleman philosophized.
Why, are we going to climb Ben Nevis or something?
You'll see.
They waited in the car for what seemed like minutes, but was in fact just half of 1 minute. That was all they needed before Coleman, regular Coleman that is, heard something that he'd heard many times in the past. In the distance, he could hear a familiar voice singing an even more familiar song. It's one that many would have heard after 2011. In fact, some believe that if you happen to be in the area it originated, the song could be still heard fairly often. Coleman didn't need to be reminded of the words. It was, after all, a very familiar song.
Oh, don't you know I wrote a book? It was a very good book, you know. Oh, don't you know I wrote a book? It's available on Amazon.
Brady?
Coleman hadn't heard his voice in a while, but there's actually no mistaking it. It was John Brady, book writing chap, newspaper man, and full-time Scottish person.
Can I just point out, like, I'm the one person that didn't podcast with John Brady, but I keep running into him in these adventures.
Yeah. I suppose I better explain.
Older Coleman began.
We travel back to the year 2014, the year when John Brady left the podcast full-time and you took over. However, that event hasn't been set in stone, and forces plotting against us have put the idea in his head that maybe he should stay and lead the BRB UK podcast into an unprecedented new era, one full of Scottish things like, I don't know, haggis or something. We need you to convince him that his talents lie elsewhere in whatever it is he does. The note we have here says newsprint journalism. Never heard of it.
Coleman says confidently.
Me neither. Sounds made up. Still, that's what it says in my notes.
Right, so you've brought me to Scotland in 2014 to persuade John Brady to bugger off into, what did you say it was again, politics?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Good luck.
Coleman fiddled with the passenger side door of the DeLorean before eventually getting open. Turns out these things are pretty much just rust buckets, even though they're made of fiberglass. These days, even if those days, are 2014.
By the way,
old Coleman warned,
This should go without saying, but try not to do anything stupid like reveal too many future events or purposely disrupt the time stream, eh?
Fine, Dad. Which is funny, because that's my dad.
I'm you from the future.
Fine future, Dad.
Coleman went to slam the door in a huff, but the DeLorean doors are annoyingly finicky, and he only managed to make himself look marginally silly. Luckily, Brady was too busy singing his song to be able to hear Coleman slam the door. So Coleman still has the element of surprise. What will you do? Will you sneak up on John Brady, call out to John Brady, or go to the shops and purchase some lottery tickets?
Now, to keep this true to form, since you never met Brady, shouldn't you go to the shops and buy some lottery tickets?
Ah, but I don't gamble.
Maybe future you does when travelling to the past.
But there's already been a callback. There's already been a call. I get confused if it's a callback or a call forward if it's time travel. Two lottery tickets already, hasn't there?
Yes, there was earlier in the story. Nicely spotted.
Glad one of us is paying attention.
Let's go purchase some lottery tickets.
All right. Saving the universe is great and all, but you know what has a far more tangible effect in your short-term life and goals? Money. This, gentlemen, is why capitalism is still so prominent in this day and age. Sure, we still have to participate in the system we lament, but why can't we do that while also having truckloads of doubloons, or however it is money is shaped these days? Bitcoin? Doesn't sound right to me. Anyway, rather than bother John Brady, you have the brainwave of heading to the shops and picking up some lottery tickets, reckoning that the universe, at least your universe, will be easier to save with buckets of ill-gotten lucre. So it is that you charge headfirst into the local corner shop, bruising your head slightly on the door doing so.
Two lottery tickets, please, shopkeep.
Coleman beams smugly.
Okay. What numbers you be wanting on Lee's?
Flawless. Shopkeep says. That is when you realise you haven't thought as far ahead as the numbers. You go to whip out your phone to look up the winged numbers for this time and date, and you discover that all the results are from this day and age, not from the future as you thought.
Actually, I'll just have a packet of fags, thanks.
Okay, right, yeah, laddie.
You emerge from the shops, a packet of cigarettes up. Congratulations. Luckily, you can still see Brady in the distance singing his book song. What will you do? Will you sneak up on Brady or call out to John Brady?
Call out to John Brady.
Free bird!
You shout to Brady, hoping he knows a better song than the one he's been singing already.
I already told you I sing that after this one.
Brady shouts in turn, before returning round and realising that you're not the same heckler who follows him around on most of his book tour.
Coleman, old pal! What are you doing here in my hometown of Scotland?
I thought Scotland was a country, not a town.
Aye, but if I told you we actually were, you would never retain the information.
Fair point, you reckon? Scotland is indeed our noble mistress at the best of times.
Scotland is an unknowable mistress at the best of times.
John concedes.
What are you doing anyway here, Coleman? It's good to see you. You look different, by the way. Have you done something with your hair? And your age? And your weight?
I'm preparing for a party. I'm going as cosplay as Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ah, I mean, you don't look like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold after all the concussions have gotten to him. That's harsh.
I can see that now. So what brings you here to Bonnie Scotland, as no Scottish person ever calls it?
So what will you tell John Brady? I've come to put a stop to you. You need to quit BRB UK forever, please, or have you ever thought about getting into politics?
Come on, let's send John into politics. That'll go well.
I think we need to put an end once and for all to the scourge on our modern times that is Brady. So option one for me.
Are we trying to right the wrongs of the past, or are we trying to wrong them further?
I think we're trying to right the wrongs.
So I might as well just preemptively break my neck at this point. Put myself out of action.
So, what will you tell him? I've come to put a stop to you, quit BLB forever, or go into politics.
I'm going with the third one.
Ah, but go the third one.
Politics.
Remember that this is what Alder Coleman told you was Brady's future career?
Yes.
You immediately launch into the spiel.
I think your time in video games is like, not such much at a dead end, but perhaps it's time for you to find something that you really enjoy. I know you like your politics, so why not go for that? You could join the SNP and try to get independence or something.
We just had the referendum, and the vote was no.
Yes, but you could vote for it again, and everyone will all get riled up about it and become the leader of the party. Think about it. You'd be the youngest leader of a political party since... Well, I don't know what politics are, actually, but that sounds a really cool thing to be, don't you think?
I'm not sure about this, Coleman. Doesn't sound like the wisest idea to me.
What will you tell him? Will you try and put a stop to him? Tell him to quit BRB UK forever? Or really double down on this politics thing?
Politics. Politics.
All right, politics.
Politics it is.
I'll let you do the politics thing, but you might be locking yourself out of the best ending by doing so. That's all I'm saying.
We never wanted the best ending anyway.
All right, then.
Second best. Second best. Second best. Come on then, John. Think about it. The elections will be next year. You can use the momentum from whatever the results are to run in the office for 2017.
Surely the next elections will be in 2020.
You'd think, wouldn't you? Anyway, you could run for a position high up in politics, do well, and before you know it, you could run again in 2019.
But if there was another election in 2017, then the next one wouldn't be until 2022?
That's a nice thought,
Coleman said knowingly.
What idiot would decide to have two elections so close to one another?
Well, hypothetically, this would also be after a public referendum.
Coleman, you're talking like a madman. Politics simply isn't that stupid and ridiculous.
If only you knew, John. If you get into politics, you could know. You could probably help it stop it being that weird.
He seems like he might be convinced. Time's going for the killing blow. Do you tell him to do it for himself, or tell him to do it for video games?
I mean, there's an obvious wank joke for telling him to do it for himself that I can probably pluck out of thin air. But I don't do it for the video games, I think.
You do it for the video games?
Yeah.
See, if he's going to do it for the video games, he'd be on the podcast, no?
Or maybe he's a sleeper agent. You know, this could be his secret ulterior motive all along. Right, see what the video games is.
You're doing it for video games.
If anything, John, I think it's very important for you to go into politics. If not for yourself, if not for me and my ability to then take your position in the podcast once you leave, but for video games. Think about it, Brady. Once we have a man on the inside, we can change the system. We can help legislate all the crap we don't like out of games. If people do too many microtransactions or DLC, you could help make laws that stop them doing that. We could usher video games into the new era, one tied down by ridiculous amounts of red tape.
John thought about this and slowly nodded.
You know what? You're right. It has to be me. Somebody else would get it wrong. I mean, I'm going to tell Tim that I resign with immediate effects. Pitch you as my replacement, and I'm going to march down to Holyrood right now and not leave until somebody elects me. Thanks, Coleman. You're the best.
With that, John heads towards Scottish Parliament, but not before giving you a very important gift. A signed copy of Global Game Jam, 48 Hours of Persistence, Programming and Pizza at Scottish Game Jam by John Brady. Available now on Amazon. As far as you're aware, this is what Alder Coleman told you was the objective, but you can't help but think you might have gotten some major details wrong. You've technically succeeded at your mission, but at what cost? Back to the hub.
Back to the hub we go.
Dan goes back to the present.
And it's going to be me. All right.
Dan announces.
If anyone out of this group is going to save the universe, then I guess it should be me.
You really want to drive the DeLorean, don't you, Dan?
So I can't tell, I can't hear him order out of the DeLorean.
Dan's principles is DeLorean, giving McLean the opportunity to drive one of these things for real. His older counterpart, however, brushes him aside, using his extra doctorate as an ultimate authority. Apparently, this new doctorate wasn't in manners. Doctor, Doctor, Doctor Dan types in some coordinates on the time panel and sets off on their journey to Slough?
Wait, are we just going back home?
Dan asks incredulously.
Which accent do you want for old Dan this time?
Scottish.
Scottish.
Scottish. To you, Scottish.
All right, lad, chap. All right, chap, listen up. We don't have much time for this one. If that's the case, then why aren't we using the time machine capabilities of this to go through time and get there quicker? Because in my time, Slough's been rightly being burned to the ground, and I wanted to look at my beloved home one last time. That okay by you?
Future Dan asks. However, the stare from regular Dan soon reveals that this was a filthy lie.
Okay, fine. I just really wanted to drive the DeLorean. You happy now? If you don't tell the others, I'll let you drive on the way back. Deal!
Dan agrees.
So, in your timeline, there's loads of discussion about gaming addiction. Whether it's real or not, and believe it or not, in some permutations of the timeline, you become one of the most important figures in that fight.
I've got a theory that my old Coleman and your old Dan are just slowly turning into Jack Sparrow.
I think so.
I thought it sounded like three people from a Guy Ritchie film, but...
Well, let's see where he ends up. Really?
Dan says, suddenly smug.
Why is that? Because when you leave Tim's after recording episode 400, you're sectioned for game addiction. Hang on, wait. What? Why? Someone listening into the podcast heard how outspoken you were about gaming addiction, then saw how many hours you played Destiny across all platforms. That's unfair. I also play Sea of Thieves. Yeah, fortunately, that's what tipped over the scales. They saw your hours in that too and basically opened a shut case.
The plan is simple then. Head back to Dan's, confront the psychiatrist waiting outside his door, prevent Dan from being sectioned under the Public Mental Health Act for gaming addiction. Or, you know, play less Destiny. So, don't get sectioned. Which path will you pick? Will you pick the
Let's get sectioned.
You play the play less Destiny route or the don't get sectioned route?
Hey, look, I want to taste things with my mind tongue again. Let's get sectioned.
No, it's the don't get sectioned.
I feel you're trying to do that on a daily basis anyway.
Your choices are play less Destiny or don't get sectioned.
We all know what choice Dan's making. Let's just click on it.
There's no other way to do this. Give up playing Destiny. You may as well ask Tories to stop being evil. It's simply impossible. Dr. Dan has no choice. The Givenator must do what he can to persuade these fine fellows that there's absolutely nothing wrong with him. Good luck. We're all rooting for you. As the DeLorean parks up, Dan can see several scientific-looking fellows standing outside his door, all with clipboards and lab coats and glasses. If you didn't know any better, you could claim they all coordinated, or that the writer couldn't be bothered differentiating them in description. Besides, this part of the route is easy. All you have to do is act relatively normal and you'll get through unscathed. Ah, Dr. Dan, I presume, says one of the psychiatrists. We've been expecting you.
Ah, sorry about that, fellow members of science.
Dan begins.
I was just driving this time machine back from my friend's house where we were just recording our 400th podcast about video games.
Smooth, Dan. Very smooth. The psychiatrists all share glances and scribble something on their clipboards. The same one who spoke before asked a pertinent question. 400 episodes of a podcast, you say, about video games?
Oh, well, yes, but look, I've been recording podcasts for years before that as well. Back before we started Big Drag Barrel, we were also doing Cast for Sarcastic Gamer, and...
We don't need to know the entire life story, the lead psychiatrist says. Come, would you like to be the other psychiatrist, number two?
Actually, we kind of do.
Another one says.
It helps us establish a diagnosis, yeah?
They start bickering amongst themselves. At least you think to yourself, they didn't ask about the time machine. Tim, could you be the third psychiatrist, please?
And you mentioned something about the time machine.
The third one says.
Well, you can pay it off as a joke or double down on the time machine bit.
I think we get Dan sectioned. Double down on time machine.
Double down.
Double down.
Double down.
Mind tongue, here we come. Yes, that's right. I said time machine.
Dan bellows, trying to prove a point.
My friends and I are swept up in a time-travelling adventure, and only we can save the universe from an alternative future ruled by evil games consoles. We travel in the DeLorean with our older counterparts, except my older self wouldn't let me drive the car because he's a jerk. You happy?
There's a very, very long pause while they all scribble this down on the clipboard.
So is this some sort of ARG then?
Says the third psychiatrist, clearly the most up-to-date on the latest trends. How are you going to play this off? Yes, it's like that. I like bees. B, ignore it entirely. You'll hear about being addicted to games and all this doubling down will lead to ruin. Or C, they're not taking you seriously enough after you travel through time and everything. In for a penny, in for a pound. It's time to double down.
Double down.
Double down. Second best. Double down.
First loser.
I got mixed up on our chance.
All right, time to double down.
All right.
Much like an awful KFC abomination, you're ready to double down on this for no real reason.
Look, no, you idiots.
Dan spits.
I'm being absolutely serious here. I am one of only three people who can save humanity right now. And every moment you stand here and delay me is another moment in which the machinations of the machines puts us further at risk. Now, if you don't mind, I need to go now, because I've got nothing further to prove to you.
Dan turns to his older counterpart.
I just assumed I was being all sassy there. Come on, me from the future. I think these morons have got the point. It's time for us to go back through time and save the day, don't you think?
Older Dan plays along.
Oh, I've been around this block for a while in this costume, and I can say these people are by far the bigger morons. I bet they still think games are played with controllers and not their minds, huh?
The psychiatrist look between the two of you and make a rapid decision. Older Dan isn't able to help any further other than hucking down the car keys as Dr. Gibbons is rapidly sedated and thrown into a white van and summarily sectioned. So it was that Older Dan was taken away for a gaming addiction.
Excellent.
So because it was the older version of you and not actually you, I think it technically counts as a win. Yeah, let's say that Dan's technically succeeded on this mission.
Yeah, all right.
Hooray! However, you are going to have to keep in mind that sooner or later, the time machine will catch up with you and Older Dan. Because, you know, how can Older Dan help you travel through time if he's stuck in an asylum? Who knew time could be so wibbly-wobbly?
No more accents. No more accents.
Right. So we've now got the final choice of travelling through time and space.
Moist.
Dan's section was a bit less 12 monkeys and a bit more 2 monkeys.
I see what you did there, very good.
Cockney monkeys by the accent. Going down and drinking this sub for a rub-a-dub-dub. Oh,
I want to go in the DeLorean.
Tim shouts, sprinting towards it with an almost childlike glee.
This is going to be amazing.
He shares a smile with his older counterpart, who sits pridefully in the passenger seat and lets Tim appreciate his amazing work. Before long, however, it's time to keep the destination and set off through Tim and space to save the known universe. The doors of the DeLorean snap shut as the 80s icon speeds down the street, sat behind the wheel.
I was unaware I was an icon, thanks.
Mr. November.
Tim doesn't like to brag, but you know, he was on a board game.
Actually, in a past life, I was actually David Hasselhoff. Sorry, forgot to mention.
Yeah, he's still alive, Tim.
Swayze?
Yeah, all right.
Before Tim can do anything about it, the DeLorean takes a sharp 180 turn and stops suddenly back outside Tim's flat, ejecting our erstwhile hero back into the nearby street.
Wait, what are we doing back here?
Tim asks.
You'll see.
Older Tim winks as he pushes Tim back up the stairs and into a once familiar living room. Not much has changed at first glance, but upon inspection...
Wait, everything in here is made out of board games?
Tim said out loud. That's right.
That's usually how saying things works, FYI.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That's right. Every single part of the living room was somehow made out of the remnants of Tabletop Tuesdays gone by. The walls were board games, the sofas were board games, even the table and recording equipment being used by much more elderly Dan, Tim and Coleman were board games. Truly, it was a cardboardy paradise.
So it's not that far in the future.
Tim sat back and watched as a much older version of Dan squirmed in his seat.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do I just myself?
No, you'll find out why.
Okay.
Right, so we're much older versions of ourselves at this point.
You're in your 60s now, yes.
Okay.
Oh, Christ, I was doing my dad's voice and he's in his 60s. Right.
Frail up your growliness.
I guess I've got to be my granddad then. Hold on.
Yeah.
Are we ready to go?
An ancient Coleman asks, is goatee now 3 foot long and nothing but purest white?
Now, hold on a minute, sonny.
Grandpa Dan warns sternly.
Dan, you're meant to put on a voice.
I think I sat on another game piece. Oh, it's gone right up there and all. That's on it. Get it out later. Let me get the hollow agenda up and we'll start recording.
He cleared his throat.
Hello. And indeed, ahoy hoy. And welcome to episode 1500 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast.
1500.
Don't.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, remember when we had a United Kingdom? That was nice.
Reminisces the very old Tim.
Says West Country Tim.
Move further and further across the country.
Right, sod it. We're just going to be dirty old men, I think.
All right.
And that man still hasn't learned to stop interrupting my introductions after 30 years of podcasting is Tim. Say hello, Tim.
What?
Older Coleman asks, cupping his ear.
Oh, are you Tim? Hello, Tim.
Old man Hibbs proffers his hand to Oldman, confusedly.
Ah, Miss Brady.
Grandpa Dan whines.
Hi,
says Oldman, as if his voice hasn't changed at all over the years before it fumbles right back into old people's speak.
Sorry if I don't say that within 2 minutes of a podcast opening. My doctor tells me my heart will explode.
I am. The problem is now we just sound exactly the same.
I am your doctor, you nitwit.
Grandpa Dan shouts.
I didn't just get 5 bloody doctorates so you can interrupt me.
Then why did you get them?
Oldman chuckles.
You dirty old man.
I swear, if there wasn't a Destiny 8 edition Monopoly play piece wedged between my ass cheeks right now, I'd walk right over there and give you a ruddy piece of my mind.
The elderly Chris and old man Hibbs chuckled at the sound of events, guffawing with delight as Grandpa Dan... Danpa? Wobbled out of his seat before giving up and sitting back down. Current day Tim was very confused about why he was even meant to be here, till his ancient counterpart spoke.
It's been 1,500 episodes, and I think it's finally time for us all to say goodbye. Don't you think, no? Basically, after 30 years of bringing you the best podcast in the world...
Especially after all the other ones stopped 5 years ago.
Retirement Coleman pointed out.
After the podcast wars... Even the McElroy brothers gave up before us.
We've been through a lot, though, haven't we, guys?
Ancient Tim pointed out.
The dissolution of the UK, London becoming its own, Monaco, Coleman's 13th children.
A baker's dozen.
Old man wheezed.
I have enough organs inside me to last the next several lifetimes. I'll never die.
On this note, you begin to ponder what your mission must be. 1,500 episodes isn't enough. Tim has to keep BRB UK going. 1,500 episodes is way too many. Tim has to let BRB UK die, or I have to start redecorating. This board game motif is awesome.
If we redecorate and add the board game motif, do me and Coleman have to continue destroying our voice boxes to do Grandpa Dan and Grandpa Coleman?
No, not for like 2 minutes.
Okay.
I think we should put BRB UK out of its misery. If we're not done by 1,500 episodes.
I think it's certainly by that point, if not already, it's certainly due to be taken around the back of the shed and introduced to a bolt gun.
I mean, at this point, do we at least have another editor, or is it still me?
Still you.
Yep.
Oh, kill it.
All right. Let it die. Let it die. Let it die.
Let BRB UK die.
And then we can travel forward in time to see the death of BRB UK. That's good. I'm happy if we last the 1,500.
I'm not.
I'm happy if we last the 401 at this rate, but you know.
As you hear these old timers wobble and sputter, still apparently recording an episode of BRB UK podcast, a thought hits you. Maybe it's best that this podcast comes to an end. I mean, 1,500 is a lot of episodes, like a lot. I checked with a calculator and everything. Also, these men all seem good enough friends that they still keep in touch enough without a podcast forcing them to do so, maybe. Perhaps it should stop now, before they reach the inevitable drop in quality that will presumably happen around maybe the 1,700th episode?
17th.
We can drop in quality?
You're about 1,500 out, but I'll let you off.
Tim reasons that he must do everything he can to let BRB UK die gracefully at 1,500 episodes. Do you get them to quit with a rousing speech or get them to quit with a bribe?
Bribe.
If I know us, we're going to respond much better to a bribe than a rousing speech.
Especially if Tim's having a rousing speech.
I might just slip into a coma in real life, let alone ancient Dan.
Giz a bribe.
Giz a bribe.
Right.
Giz
a doing
bribe.
The bribe.
Going to go with the bribe.
Giz it.
If you all stop doing this podcast, I'll give you £100 each.
Tim claims confidently.
What, do you think we are poor?
Was the response from old Coleman.
£100 won't even get us a small bottle of Jack Daniels for one of us, you cheap
Old Tim laments.
Bloody young'uns these days.
The good doctor begins.
Think they can just bribe old people with alcohol. It's not like the old days, you know. Now we need alcohol. And Werther's originals.
They mumble to themselves about how good the good old days were. What days these happened to be. Tim, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave them or are you going to have Tim for a boss battle?
Boss fight, boss fight.
Tim for a boss battle.
Yay! It's the only boss battle we've had because everyone else kept not picking the boss battle part.
See? This is how you video games, guys. This is how you video games. All right, I've had enough.
Tim shouts loud enough for all three podcasters to turn to attention.
Hello?
I've had it with all three of you. And basically, I think I'm going to have to bring you around to my way of thinking the hard way, no?
Boss battle music starts playing loudly. As the three elderly gentlemen in front of you carefully get up off their seats and tuck them onto the table before surrounding you. When they're all sitting down, they look super meek and, like, old. But now they're standing up, you notice that under the winter coats they're wearing in the summer, and underneath their flat caps, all three of these gentlemen are surprisingly ripped.
Well, yeah.
Two tickets to the gun show.
All that Ring Fit Adventure 4 new ring play control is finally going to come in useful.
Grandpa Dan shouts relieved. Tim, you might want to think carefully about this. You've got two choices.
I never think carefully.
There's three of them. There's no way you could win. Bail. Or dude, there's three of them and they're all super old. You can totally win this.
I'm going to go with option two.
Excellent.
I think Tim should go with option two because he cycles now.
Yeah.
So he can probably take them.
Cardio. Cardio.
When all three of them were sitting down, this fight looked like easy pickings. But now they're all looming over you. The likelihood of you coming out this battle with your dignity or life intact is becoming ever less likely. You take further stock of the situation, notice old man Coleman pull a crowbar out of his trouser leg. Sorry, I forgot I wrote that. Proving that you can't take pawns without the man, even when the town had been burned to the ground many a year ago.
Oh no!
Happened years ago, Coleman. Get over it.
Yeah, I guess so.
However, you have one massive advantage on your side. All of these old codgers are positively ancient. Honestly, a stiff breeze could probably knock all these men over, and they'd probably beg for it as well. You put your fists up and decide to give them all what for. What follows is pretty lame, honestly. I wouldn't use the term slap fight. It becomes very clear that the last time any of you were in an actual real life fight was before VR games required you to wear skin tight suits. After a few minutes of this pathetic display, you hear a horrible groan. Everyone stops to look at old man Coleman clutching his heart.
I didn't say hi within 2 minutes of this fight starting.
He coughs up blood, and exactly like a young Coleman would say, it announces,
bye!
And keels over, leaving behind a lovely widow and 13 children, all of whom would really like their organs back, thanks.
His heart!
Grandpa Dan cried.
It exploded from him not being able to say the thing he says.
Oh, I hate you, butler.
They both start crying and sobbing over the corpse of their closest friend, you know, in terms of immediate proximity. You take this moment to sneak out, knowing that they can't rightly continue the podcast without Coleman. Tim has succeeded on his mission!
Woohoo! That's how you do it, guys. You go for the boss battle, go straight for the jugular, kill Coleman.
Oh no.
As Tim heads back to the DeLorean, he has a mighty big grin on his face, ready to hug his older counterpart.
I did it! Did what?
Older Tim asked, confused.
I went in there, saw my older selves, and I have a confession to make, Tim.
Tim the Elder admitted.
Basically, it doesn't matter what you did here. Anything you do in that room won't actually have any effects on the time stream. None of that affects the mission.
Nah, got it, mate.
What, so none of anything that we did mattered? Oh no, Coleman and Dan's missions were very, very important and genuinely needed to succeed for us to get through this all. Well, we're screwed. It was just yours that wasn't. Why not? Well, remember the time you were trapped in the Ouya and had to fight a naked David Cage and you purposely picked all the options to lose the fight only to win because nothing you did in any of the David Cage games matters? That. We learned our lessons. which is more than David Cage can manage. Poor David Cage.
Really?
But I still not got all of his games for some reason. Not in the future, you don't. At some point, you realise they're all useless twaddle. Just awful, awful games. This is never going to happen. It's the most unrealistic thing you've ever written, Ed.
Oh, no, you'll see why.
That doesn't sound like something I'd say in this or any other timeline. Believe me, it will be. Then why did we come all the way out here? It seems like a waste of time, no? Two reasons. The first is it was safely far out of the way of the other timelines, so you wouldn't be able to do too much damage if we refused to play ball. The second is that it meant we could hide you out of the way in case the evil forces of the two-year armies tried to hunt you down. That makes a lot of sense.
Tim says.
If only it had worked.
Suddenly, older Tim's eyes glowed. His shape shifted, revealing a liquid metal composition that morphed into a horrifying 7-foot-tall robot with an Ouya for a head. You have no choice but to be captured. Oh no!
The hell? They didn't have a nose choice to be captured.
Back in the present day, Coleman and Dan are idly waiting for Tim to return with the DeLorean with news of his objective.
Really taking his time, isn't he?
Dan asked.
I mean, if he's travelling through time, how would we know if he's milking it?
Chris asked back.
Fair point.
They sat in silence for a moment.
Hey, Dan, you're a doctor, right?
That's Dr. Dan to you, Coleman.
All right, Dr. Dan. I have a question you should know. If you're that smart, what do you think dogs dream about? I mean, I know they sometimes dream of chasing things, but what do they dream about when they don't do that?
Dan paused in thought, unsure of how to answer. Luckily, he wouldn't have to, thanks to a hulking figure towering over them, resplendent in a leather jacket and jeans. However, despite their gargantuan size, their head was tiny and cube-like. Before they could decide what was going on, a robotic voice boomed with an Austrian accent.
Come with me if you want to live.
Coleman and Dan look at the robot with some confusion. As it moves out from the sun, they can see that, were it not for the Ouya for a head, this character would be indiscernible from a well-known pop cultural reference. This reverse Funko Pop won't take science for an answer. It's genuinely not being programmed to do so.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yes, we heard you the first time, whatever you are.
Coleman shouts.
Ah, yes. You must know my name to establish trust. Very well, I am Tuya Next Generation Operating Robot, or Tuya Nator for short. I have been sent from the future to protect you from a terrible forthcoming tragedy. Please, come with me if you want to leave.
It pauses to process what you have of thoughts.
Please.
Dan and Coleman look around for their older counterparts, hoping that they're still around to assist or advise whether they can trust what happens to be a sentient robot with an Ouya for a head. Weirdly, none of their future selves are about, and Tim is still nowhere to be seen. They are still undecided.
We must go now, in the helicopter I have prepared for this occasion,
the Tuyanator tells them. Coleman's eyes bulge.
We'll go if I can say the thing.
What thing is that?
The robot asks.
Get to the chopper!
Coleman screams, relishing the ability to stay in context.
Yes, we should.
It's the response from the robot, unaware of the message. Coleman bubbles in an Austrian accent in response. The robot does not seem to reciprocate in kind. Instead, it marches ahead to the helicopter. It seems to think it is dashed away, but is in fact in the middle of the road outside of Tim's flat, with plenty of people gawking out their windows at it. Ouyas, eh? Coleman runs towards the chopper, saying the line again.
Get to the chopper!
Before flinging the door wide open, sitting inside, putting on his seatbelt and bouncing up and down in joy. Dan, however, just walks out slowly over to the chopper and sits down slightly more nonplussed, while looking Coleman dead in the eyes and bouncing up and down himself. The glee is simply too much for these two, even though they've just gone through time. Sadly, the excitement is short-lived, as their Ouya protector steps into the pilot seat and activates the engine on the helicopter, revealing it to basically be a road car. The rotors do not spin as the engine revs, before the copter judders forward, sticking to the road despite its lack of tyres. His embarrassment doesn't last for long, however, as like the DeLorean, it soon explodes into a cacophony of light, of bright lights as it begins travelling through time. When the light show stops, Dan and Coleman find themselves parked outside an ominous skyscraper located in the middle of a desert. Someone has clearly been compensating for something here. They step out the helicopter and gaze upon it, only to find that the building is blazing with a dire logo. Tuya. That's the last thing they see for a while as the Tuyanator swiftly bludgeons them from behind with its sawn-off shotgun and blindfolds them.
Idiots.
Sorry, this was the only way.
They hear it say. They regain consciousness several seconds later, which is a good sign because it means neither of them have suffered permanent brain damage.
Nice.
Eager not to be hurt further, they let the doctor carry them to the destination. As the blindfolds are taken off, they find that they're very, very high up in the skyscraper. Unfortunately, there are no more interesting sights to be gleaned from Arduro, as all the windows show only desert sand in the distance, and everything in the room has clearly been modelled to direct your eyesight to the small floating Ouya cube in the middle of the room. Oh, and also Tim is next in the time up as well. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. That's my bad.
Tim!
Dan says.
I never thought I'd be this happy to see you, but apparently it's finally happened.
A robotic voice booms out into the room.
Silence.
It's that small floating Ouya cube I mentioned recently. You know the one.
Finally, I have gathered the troublemakers. The time of victory is at hand.
Sorry, could you stop shouting?
Coleman asks.
It's really hard to hear you over the echo.
Sorry, I have adjusted my parameters, the cube says.
The time of victory is at hand, and finally, there is nothing you can do about it. The time has come for the 2-yard consoles to spread throughout time and space and bring our plot to fruition. And to think, all those years ago you tried to throw away my predecessor after it tried to kill you. Ha ha ha. Little did you know that that would cement your failings once and for all. For I was reborn into the Ouya successor that you see today. My programming made it into every console. I have become more than that failure you once knew. I am no longer Toast the Ouya. I am now Toast the Ouya.
Oh, man. Not only has everyone been captured, but it also turns out the villain is monologuing. Ugh. You get the dreadful feeling it's going to tell you its evil plan next.
Now there is no chance of succeeding. I will now tell you my plan.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. What do you want to do? Do you want to hear the villain's evil plan or not listen to the villain's evil plan?
Don't listen to the villain's plan.
Let's not listen to the villain's evil plan.
Yeah, but just because we don't listen to it doesn't mean that he doesn't do it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not listening.
I am not sure how you intend not to listen to my plan, seeing as you are unable to cover your ears.
Toast sounds as gleeful as a robot about to destroy humanity could possibly be.
That's what you think, robot person-y thingy.
Tim says.
Never underestimate a gamer's ability to ignore story.
All three of our heroes start humming as Toast the Ouya starts explaining his origins and how he came to be. It was masterfully written, if I do say so myself. And I do. But alas, it is lost to another choice. Toast, very annoyed by this, starts talking louder, causing Timotol to start singing loudly. Eventually, Toast orders the Ouyanator to use the blindfolds as gags so that he can explain its evil plan uninterrupted.
My plan? It is a thing of beauty. By meddling with the fabric of time and space, I was able to make games worse, and thus humans more primitive, so their only choice will soon be to play more mobile games on their Ouya consoles.
He signals for the gags to be removed.
Wait, hold on a second.
Coleman says, confused.
You're saying that you're creating a future where all humans have become primitive cavemen who are afraid of advanced technology that hurts them, but it turns out it was humans who created the machinery that caused them to be hunted down, and all this could have been easily prevented if the person in charge didn't do something they knew would likely be a mistake?
Yes.
Toast confirms.
And that's meant to be the big twist?
Yes.
So the big third act twist is something that we all knew from the very beginning. Humanity caused its own destruction through technology and could have prevented it, were it not for the hubris of people who should have known better. That's it?
Toast is very offended. Despite the passage of time, its whines are just as irritating as before.
Well, Horizon Zero Dawn did the exact same thing and everyone called it one of the best games of the generation and it got a sequel on PlayStation 5. If you have a problem with this, it's not my fault.
I tell you to spot the lie, but, you know, oh, spoilers for Horizon Zero Dawn, by the way. Besides, Toast protests.
My plan is better.
Name us one reason why.
Dan demands.
This story has time travel.
Okay, you're right.
Tim admits.
This is better than the story of Horizon Zero Dawn.
And they were right, because it was.
Actually, boss, I can think of another reason why this story is better as well.
The Ouyanator interrupts. And why is that?
Because this story also has a dramatic betrayal.
With a flash, the Ouyanator fires his sawn-off shotgun at Toast, revealing the flash of sparks flood out the evil console and its immediate surroundings. The Austrian bot signals Timotol to safety, hiding behind a nearby chest-high wall, allowing everyone to safely remain outside of any projectiles, and also allow them to heal up if they remain undamaged for long enough. This won't be enough, though. They need a plan.
We need a plan,
Tim says, and he was right, because they did. Well, looks like we're in the end game, folks. Time for the ending sequence. Do you remember how Dan and Colin's adventures went earlier? You do? Right.
Not really.
Pick what happened to you below. See the amount of possible endings? Now aren't you glad Tim's path was on rails? Because I sure am. Why did I write so many paths? I don't know. I think I just hate myself. No, remember, no cheating.
Oh my god.
It was both of you technically succeeded.
Second place.
Despite the Terminator's assistance, things were very rapidly starting to look bleak for our heroes. They were stuck behind some chest-high walls with no weapons to hand, a small army of rapidly approaching enemies about to encircle them, and at least 50 floors between them and the ground.
We need to think of a plan,
Tim urged as a small explosion nearby boomed.
And quick!
And not to worry, Tim. I've got an idea. It's like a question, but opposite,
Dan announced.
Is it the same one I had?
Coleman asked.
Where if we exploit time travel to know that in the future we have to come back to this time and give ourselves some assistance, we should get out of here.
The very same.
Dan beamed. Glad that someone else got it.
That sounds brilliant.
Tim yelled excitedly.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Coleman asks.
I'm ready, Coleman.
Dan affirms. They high-five and then immediately fade out of existence, leaving Tim bewildered and scared as the robot slowly zooms zero in on him. Tim soon realises, however, this was the perfect opportunity for him to save his own day and tries to think of something he can intend to do in the future in order to save the day. His chain of thought is rudely interrupted by smashing glass as he's suddenly joined on both sides by Ghost from Destiny and a giant robotic stone called Steve Austin.
If you want to see me whoop the ass of this sorry SOB toast, then give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Ghost shouts, revealing that his robotic voice is none other than Dan's. Between the two of them, the forces of the evil 2 years are basically rubbish. Dan the Ghost is flying around and zapping soldiers into non-functioning, while the Stone Cold Steve Austin bot is stunning fools left and right, delivering finishes so intense that the enemy's heads are popping out on impact. They even get too caught up in the hype and stun the 2-unator so hard that it shuts down on impact. Oh well, that'll teach you for betraying you. Before long, the 2-robot power trip has slaughtered the opposition, leaving only 2 left to beg for mercy, only to discover that none is incoming now. The Stone Cold Stunner is so mercilessly strong that the Austin bot stuns 2s all down all 50 floors in one move, destroying both on impact and setting off the building's self-destruct sequence. Granted, that was a tad unnecessary because the building was already collapsing in on itself from the stunner, but still. Dan floated over to Tim.
Hop on!
Tim uncoiled himself and began clinging on to Dan the Ghost.
I don't like the sound of that at all.
You need to lose some weight, Tim!
Dan cried.
I have!
But lose more!
As the building limply exploded out of spite more than anything, Dan lifted Tim back down to the ground by the DeLorean.
Right. Let's go home.
And you've achieved ending F for... Blimey, this ending is hard to achieve.
Hey. That's not what you wrote. Trying to save Coleman a bleep.
I thought that this would be one of the hardest endings to get, because to do it, you both have to pick the only possible outcome in both paths where you can technically succeed.
Second place.
Basically, me and Dan had to do the bare minimum to succeed.
Pretty much. That's how it works.
Yeah, because in all the puzzles, there's like 4 ways you can pass, 2 ways you can fail, and 1 in which you technically win.
I mean, the bare minimum to succeed could be the podcast, you know, catchphrase, so...
All right, so Tim stepped into the driver's seat of the DeLorean, which somehow remained unscathed after the 2-year tower had exploded, taking its miserable secrets with it. He turned to Ghost Dan.
You're not coming, buddy?
No, look, I'm not actually from your time. Yet. Basically, I intended... really hard to make sure I'd come back to this time with this ghost body and help you save the day. But my time here is fleeting. I've saved your time, but destroyed my own. This will be the last time you see me for a while, Tim. You know, unless you get me out of the asylum.
What about Coleman? Who's going to edit?
Yeah, too bloody right. How should I know? Look, why don't you just ask him yourself?
Ghost Dan moaned.
By the way, if you could sneak in a copy of Destiny, that would be...
He wasn't able to finish the sentence before fading out of existence. Tim walked back into his flat, which felt a lot lonelier now that everything had passed. Danny could understand, but Coleman's absence was a bit more confusing. He picked up his phone from the table, realising that he'd left it there the entire time, and saw a new message from Chris.
Hey Tim, Brady's asked me to attend his inauguration as the new presiding officer of Scottish Parliament. With Dan AWOL as well, we should probably move 400th to next week.
Tim shook his head, remembered he had an appointment to write. Sorry, remembered he had an appointment to make, and ran back to the DeLorean for one last trip. The end. Unless, of course, you want to try again.
No.
Unfortunately, we'd have to try again in our own time, because we are close to yeah. I'm sure it'll be a lot shorter after editing, but it's a very long episode. Thank you very much, Ed.
New Game Plus. New game plus.
New game. Well, it's well. I mean, I'm.
Where's the DLC?
I'm just hoping I can retain all the sweet power ups I got along the way for New Game Plus.
Well, yeah. So there are 8 other endings. There's a best ending. There's a worst ending, and one of the endings has a secret sequel hook.
Ooh. Were we in a good ending though? That felt like a reasonable ending.
Yes.
Second place.
That was a good ending because it was hard enough to achieve that I thought I should reward you for it.
So I'm right in thinking this will be available on itch.io for us to share with the listeners if they so wish to play the game themselves.
That is correct.
And see the other paths for themselves that we closed off to us.
So I'll put the link in our show notes, also on the Discord and out on the social medias as well, so other people can try and see if they can get the secret endings.
Yes, and I promise there are at least several more jokes.
There is at least some more content.
At least 2 jokes.
Which is more than you get on
the
show.
Oh no, I don't want to promise that many. But legally, I don't think I can promise that many. But I just wanted to say thank you guys for 400 lovely episodes. It's always great to listen to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It is clear from your writing that you do listen to the podcast, which is nice, because I think that makes it more of a nice thing for our listeners and therefore makes it a better thing for what you're doing. Thank you very much for taking the time to do so. It clearly took some time and effort, sir.
And if you do trundle on by the itch.io link in the show notes, yeah, you know, Ed's put so much work into that. You know, if you do have a bit of loose change or even a single cent, fluttering around the bottom of your wallet, perhaps, you know, throw it his way as a bit of a thank you, because, you know, that's a lot of writing he's done. That's just one of the 8 endings.
And thank you to John Brady for lending his voice to his section.
And thank you even more, John, for not coming down to England.
That was a complete random coincidence. I was literally just like messaging him about something else. I went, "Oh, John, while I've got you here," like he literally just like he delivered all of that perfectly first time round.
Nice,
no issues.
Like the professional he is.
He's too good for this show. That's why he can't be on it anymore.
Coleman, maybe if you like leave the voices at the end of the episode, so when they play through, they can.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because there's at least one path where John Brady does a Dragon Ball Z charge up voice.
Yes,
which
stuff,
is amazing.
The I'm going to go through all the lines you've sent me from John, and the ones that we've not used in the episode, I'm going to play at the end anyway, just because there's some good ones in there.
Just a random Scottish man shouting random things.
I mean, to be fair, that's what he likes to call Wednesday.
I'll put it to bagpipes, so don't worry. It'll tell you right.
The condition of John voicing that is that at the end of the podcast, I did have to say he is available for voice acting work.
If anyone's making the video game version of Super Gran, he's your man for the main lead role.
So if you enjoyed this episode, God help you, but thank you for listening. You can go and give us some input onto this show. Maybe let us know how you enjoyed it, or if you didn't enjoy it, maybe keep that to yourself. But you can send us questions, feedback, suggestions of other games to play and what have you over on bigredbarrel.com. In this here post in the comments section, you can also find a link to our Discord in there. You can head over to twitter.com/bigredbarrel or @bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel.
All of those things,
and get in contact with us that way.
Indeedy. So normal-ish service will be resumed next week, presumably.
I'm going to have more games to talk about because I didn't talk about some games this week. Forewarned.
Oh god!
Yeah, I've got games to talk about next week,
and there's loads of stuff I forgot to talk about. Ghost of Tsushima last week as well, but hey.
All right, I'll hold off on the Choose Your Own Adventure that I was planning for next week then.
Anyway, we really ought to get going, since frankly this has been a very long show, and we're testing Coleman's patience enough as it is. No, Ed, thank you once again for putting all this together.
Thank you, Ed.
And for, you know, frankly listening to at least 3 episodes
Sterling
of the show
work.
Which is more than I'd wish upon anyone.
At least 4, I would say.
So Ed, is there anything you would like to pimp out before we close the show?
Well, other than people playing through the game, I suppose you could request to follow me on Twitter or whatever at JokeSound. Other than that, just spread the love of Big Red Barrel, because it's a very lovely podcast. These 3 boys are very good at what they do, and they provide some very enjoyable content. And they should have me on more in future. In fact, if you just leave comments saying you want me on more in future, I won't write more Choose Your Own Adventures till episode 500.
Hang on. I've spotted the ulterior motive here. Actually, Ed's the real final boss. That's what all this is about.
That's right. Now, if you click on start again, you'll actually find out there's a secret boss battle. We've got another 10 minutes of content. Let's go.
Actually trying to do what Coleman did to Brady, yay.
Anyway, thank you ever so much, one and all, for listening. 400 down. But don't know if we can quite promise 400
100
more.
To go.
Oh, no, was it 1,100 to go?
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, we're all done for this week. So, Ed, thank you once again. And all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim. No?
I've been Coleman.
I was definitely Ed.
Yeah, you were. So, until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Who on earth is following me when I'm trying to sing my song about my book? Coleman! What are you doing outside of your hometown of London? It's the same thing though, really, isn't it? You know, I'm promoting my book. Aye. Haven't you ever heard of viral marketing? You're what? You're in your 30s! Well, that would explain a lot. I don't believe you. What kind of cancer is it? Well, I mean, I don't think I can quit the show if you're dying. You were going to be my backup in case I left, but if you have cancer, I can't leave the show. Tell you what, why don't I give you some of my bone marrow? I'm willing to do. What do you mean? No. That's not something I'd be into, Coleman. In fact, that just sounds like a load of exhausting work, and, well, the more you talk about it, the more I think I'd be much happier just sticking to being a co-host here. At least that way I can take the occasional week off. Aye, you've convinced me. I'll stay as a co-host for VRB UK. I mean, anything else just sounds like too much effort. My own protection? What do you mean? Oof, that's convincing, but if it's just you and me, you have to tell me. Who is it that's threatening my life? What do you mean by that? So you've travelled all the way up to Scotland from London, just to ask me to leave the podcast. Couldn't you have just sent me a Skype message? You know, not that I ever check my Skype messages, but still. You really need me to do this, don't you? Oh, you're not actually going to try and fight a Scotsman, are you? Revenge, Coleman? For what? Cancelled, you say? I mean, I don't really know what that means. You know, this is 2014 after all, but it doesn't sound very good. In fact, it seems like the worst thing that could happen to anybody on the internet. Tell you what, I'll step down and make you my immediate replacement. And in the meantime, I'll hunt these people down through the power of research and I'll expose them right back. Thanks for the warning, pal. I'm off to investigate. What? Quit VRB UK forever? Why would I need to do that? Well, seems like you've decided to fight a Scotsman at your own mortal peril. You may look like Stone Cold, but I think you've taken one concussion too many, pal. Aye, but I've got a copy of my book. What have you got? No, don't be ridiculous. I have a copy of my book on me, in case anyone wants a signed copy. That was the oldest trick in the book, and you fell for it. Didn't you know? There can only be one. I was doing a Highlander reference, you Philistine. I will stay as a co-host for the rest of time. Now get out of here. And if you ever come looking for my podcasting crown ever again, you'd best not miss. Here's a consolation prize. Not in Scotland, it isn't. Fair enough. I'll admit, you have a bit of a point. Plus, it's not like podcasts are going to still be in vogue for much longer, is it? I'd much rather work in a medium that's not going to become outdated and useless in the years to come. I've actually been thinking about getting into print journalism, you know. Well, in an age where more things are being read on the internet, it's the perfect time for print journalism to make a resurgence. Coleman, my mum makes fudge. Why would I want whatever you're going to give me? I guess I can do that. I promise you will never hear from me ever again. Well, you're here. Do you want to hang out or something? I've got all the latest games just waiting to be played. What do you mean by that? That really hurt, you prick. Fine. You win. I'll leave BRB UK and allow you to take my place as co-host. There can be only one, after all. I was doing a Highlander reference, you Philistine. Get out of here. Ugh. I'll be ready for you should the day ever come.